Okay, so there's a massive thunderstorm going on in New York City, and it brings back memories of Hurricane
Of
Sandy.
the great flood.
The Great Flood, where it was not good, but hopefully it won't be that bad this time.
That's where two of every type of people that live in New York City had to get together in somebody's loft, way up high in the sky to preserve, you know.
The problem was that Neil Patrick Harris didn't know what to do, because that guy is one of a kind. A one of a kind, once in a generation talent. From I did not endure Hurricane Sandy. I did, however, participate in Winter Storm Nemo, which many question could actually have been more terrifying than Sandy, and
You
probably
also
people who were in it were braver, they said.
got fucking shad-racked by Derecho Dave.
I got the derecho pretty hard, lost my power for 10 days. That was rough. So I'm a little bit of a storm expert myself. Based on what I've seen on TLC, the primary impact of Hurricane Sandy was on bakeries and hair salons, because there's a lot of rebuilding going on in those two specific areas that I've
What are you
seen.
trying to say about New York?
I'm just seeing a lot of specific episode, like a Very Special Cake Boss, where he like tries to dig out his cakes from his non-functioning freezer, that kind of thing.
Well,
That poor man.
I should mention that the storm has now stopped. So I guess this is not Hurricane Sandy.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it's nice.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the past, I would say, at least 4 days. Let's be conservative about it.
My name is Dave Tack, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Ross Frosch, and I know the best game of the week.
This is, of course, the Besties, where we talk about everything that's happened in that week and try to pick
Which
from
week?
The rubble that week, whatever week that happens to be.
Okay. So could it be like? Could it be like?
It could be any week.
March 1982.
Yeah, that's a month, but I get your idea.
Tuesday, 1982.
That's a day. You're not doing
it. Oh crap! 4 p.m.
All right. I'm already so mad at you.
I'm sorry.
I'm only going 4 minutes. What this week? No games. Do you know why there's no games? Because they didn't show any games at the Xbox One press conference, and that's all we're talking about this week. It's a very special Besties, where. The next gen's not near, my friends. It's here.
I think they hinted at games maybe being supported.
Sure. They referenced that it would play games in at least two different instances.
Yeah.
It's such a big deal because there hasn't been a new Xbox for a long time, and now it seems like there will be one.
Yeah.
Expert commentary.
Let's... Before we get into our granular best things from the press conference, I'm curious about how it left all of us. How did it leave you when it was done with you? Where were you at physically?
I was physically not nearly as exhausted as I was after the PlayStation press conference.
What do you mean by it? Well, the PlayStation press conference was also almost twice as long.
But that's what I mean. It's like it felt like a marathon, whereas this felt like a very carefully constructed Spike TV special.
It was crazily dense, which was not so great for the news team, because it required a lot of just bad writing. Just we did some of the worst writing just because we had to
slop it up there, right?
Had to get it done so fast. We just like put or we vomited the news into a bucket and then threw it on the canvas that is our beautiful website.
The spell check button's so far away.
I just post it.
You're talking about milliseconds, though.
I know. Every
right.
moment.
You gotta get that SEO.
I just think, from an entertainment, like, I can sit and watch a press conference and be sort of interested. I think they crushed Sony. I'm not talking about feature set or anything like that. I just think, like, I was watching it, and they kept saying new things, and I didn't have to watch gameplay of Knack.
Sure.
So.
And as a you know, the average sort of Joe the Plumber would have gotten a lot out of it, because Joe the Plumber probably really likes TV and football. probably really likes those things and can get super hyphy about it. I actually thought the press conference wasn't that bad because I went into it knowing they weren't going to show a lot of games. They didn't explicitly say they weren't going to do that ahead of time, but the fact that they were like, we got a very games-heavy E3 presentation waiting for you sort of intimated that this one was going to follow the pattern of the past two Xbox 360 E3 press conferences, which were incredibly like smart glass and, you know, media partnership heavy.
Yeah.
For me, it was everything that came after the press conference that was a total fucking disaster.
Oh, that was a mess. But wow. I think we're getting probably into our best categories, so maybe we should start it.
Who wants to go first?
Mine's dumb, so someone else do one.
Should we do an overview? Is there anyone who doesn't know the details of this yet that would be listening to our program also? Is that too narrow of a section of the Venn diagram?
Yeah, that person doesn't exist, I don't think, unfortunately. I mean, what's there to say? It's called the Xbox One. It's got some heady specs. Got some dank specs. I'll hook up to your cable box, and so you won't have to change inputs to watch your cable TV. And it can multitask. So if you're playing a game and you want to watch TV, you just sort of snap that right on there. And then it has a lot of different power states. Like, these are the only things that I got excited about. The fact that it has like a rest state that you can boot from instantly. Like, that's kind of neat. I'm down with that. It can apparently save your state of the game you're playing at any time. So if you just want to, you know, power it off and go do something else, it'll save it right there.
You don't think it's like the Vita, where essentially, like, if you want to use like an app, you can like pause it, but it's not like saving permanently?
Yeah, I don't think, because that would disrupt some of the, like, you know, Dark Souls is almost entirely built around the fact that saves are few and far between.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're not designing the Xbox console to support Dark Souls functionality.
No, but they wouldn't usurp, not just Dark Souls, but, you know, there's a lot of games that don't allow you to save anywhere you want for very specific reasons.
Punch
anyway,
Out?
Precisely. Eureka.
I think we're deep enough into specific details now that we can open up with our best competitors. Dave Tack.
Yes, sir.
You're our guest. I'd like you to talk about what you think is best.
Actually,
the Xbox.
We actually sort of just touched on it there. I think it's the best sort of cell phone feature that I'm excited to use, which is that sort of insta-save, insta-switching feature. And I think in large part it's because I've grown so used to my console being slow at this point.
Not slow. I don't know. When you say slow, you mean like it takes a while to turn it on and do shit with it compared to...
That is correct.
It's like 30 to 45 seconds to like get to a point where I could actually move a cursor, which is ridiculous.
Right. It's nuts. But it's also, I think, because when they designed these things, they had no idea that this is what they'd be doing. And 8 years later, they've jammed so much stuff into it that it's been maxed out.
Yeah, I do like going back and looking at that original dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
The days of the blades are long gone.
Unbelievable,
right?
I'm totally down with that because I do love, like, that's what I love about the 3DS. I just open it up and it's right there. That's what I love about the Vita too. But the pitch that I don't multitask really on any electronic device I own except for my computer. Sure, I will have multiple apps open on my iPad, but that's not really multitasking. Like, I'm not really using two of those at once. The pitch of, like, you can be playing a game and then if you want to watch TV, it's just like zim-zam magic connect spell and then it changes to TV. Like, that's it. That just doesn't hold much water for me because it's like, if I want to watch TV, I'll watch TV. Like, I don't understand why one would need such a smooth transition between media consumption habits.
Because that's what happens. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like crafting something that takes a while, and I watch TV in the meantime.
But does it say? That's my question. Does it save the state of the game, or does
that's what it seems to be? Mm-hmm. What they told us was that it let's see here. It essentially effectively saves, not like an actual in-game save. But think of it like iOS, when you leave an app and it, like Russ said, essentially pauses the game.
Yeah, but on iOS, if you run too many apps, you'll like lose your state.
I don't think it runs iOS.
Oh my god, I was making an analogy.
Oh, my
bad. He burned your shit up, though.
That's a goof. That's what I did there.
It was funny.
They have to have, I mean, they got to come up with something, right?
Right.
They got to put something in it.
I like the idea of saving everything. Like, I think that's cool.
I feel like both the consoles right now are lacking that feature that, and I mean, we came up with, like, these best ofs, and, like, I think we all kind of went for little things because I don't feel like either box, right? I mean, like, obviously they're going to play the next generation games and as such will be exciting and we're going to buy them as a result. But like, I don't feel like either one has like that big idea or, you know, that really gets me excited just to have it as a rule. Like, I just feel like it's an iterative, they're both so surprisingly iterative considering, you know, how long it's been since we had the last console generation. Am I alone in that?
No.
I think you are.
Okay. Well, he's not, though.
Damn it.
Go ahead, Dave Tech.
These are the first. This and PS4, to a lesser extent, the Wii U. But they're the first new consoles to be released since basically the iPhone or the smartphone and tablet revolution. And a lot of the features that we're seeing in the new consoles weren't born on consoles. They're just doing things that we've come to expect from other devices.
Yeah.
And doesn't make it a ton less exciting to me. I don't know how much time I'm going to spend, like, putting Skype on the side of my screen and watching TV on the other. But if I can do it really fast, that makes me happy. So or just the idea of InstaBoot is great. Like, it's going to be as quick to start a game or start an app or to start anything, you know, as it is to tap an icon on my phone.
So what you're describing sounds to, that's how I feel about the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Is essentially they showed what was very much the PlayStation 4. You know, it does better graphics, better controller, but essentially the only like new feature that they put out there was like you could share game clips with your friends and like watch other people play over cloud and stuff like that. Microsoft, on the other hand, put forth a total revisioning of what, like, a game console is, like, what the focus is for a game console. And in this particular
case...
Which
is to say TV.
Yeah, which is to say TV. Right, absolutely. And
they're basically turning it into that thing that plugs into the hotel TV.
Right.
You can get your pay-per-view.
Yeah, you learn about where what the pool hours are.
No, I mean, you look at like when we had the generational switch from 360 to PS3. Obviously, HD, massive.
Yep. You mean PS2 to PS3?
Yeah, I'm sorry, PS2 to PS3, Xbox 360. That generation, the generation 7, depending on how you want to number them, but the 7th or 8th generation, we had. First off, Blu-ray on PS3, which was awesome because we had a lot bigger storage space there and the ability to play those movies. So like right there in the box, like that's that big feature that most people had not had in their
life. Well, and also online,
dankest graphics.
Well, I'm trying to put graphics aside because we are going to get new dank graphics. That's like not what I'm talking about
dank,
here.
The leap in dankness though is not going to be nearly.
I'm saying we make the leap to HD. We have bigger storage. We have these massive, not massive at the beginning, but hard drives that allow you to download games, make that a reality for the first time in the console generation.
I only have a 4 GB arcade unit, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, trust me on this one. I mean, these are like big things that really could change the landscape and did, and like were enough to get you excited about the console that you're buying outside of the fact that it was just the next thing that played games. And like, I don't, Sony has something more to talk about with like streaming. And I think streaming is a big possibility there. That could be sort of the big hook, but outside of better graphics, from a game perspective, I don't really see anything that's like getting me excited or not just getting me excited, but like it had to happen, you know, that we had to have these new consoles. And even the graphics, Griffin, as which you mentioned, like, the leap from the current generation to the next generation in terms of graphics is not going to be like it was before.
It's
not
going
to be the jump to from SD to HD. Remember, it's just not.
Right. You remember, like, the first time you played Assassin's Creed and you sort of, you know, climbed up some tower and looked around, or at least I remember doing that.
Is that how you're supposed to get around? I kept getting stuck on the ground. You're supposed to climb in that game?
Which, Assassin's Creed?
Yeah.
No!
I was just walking on the ground and...
I kept getting scared of all the horses. And yeah. I would just run away from them as fast as I possibly could.
Okay.
Some real ass looking horses.
Remember how awesome the horses looked?
Yeah, the horses looked great awesome. Too. I mean, yeah.
But there were things that could. My point is, there were things that you could do in the game that you couldn't. You could see why you needed the next gen for that.
Right.
Like beyond graphics, all of the people walking around saying the four lines of dialogue that had been recorded. You know, all of that kind of stuff. So that was a joke.
I think we're still going to get shit like that from this generation. Like, obviously, we're still going to get shit like that. I do not think it is going to come from the graphics department. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that these console generations are now happening so far apart that PC gaming has, like, already shown us how fucking good these graphics are going to get. And even when these new consoles come out, they are still not going to look as great as the highest-end PC does. I think it's going to come from other feature sets. It's going to come from other, you know, technology that they put in there. I think it's going to come from, you know, having these massive, massive, massive server banks for clouds that let you mm-hmm. have dedicated servers for every single multiplayer game and let you play, you know, 300 player matches and sustain these, you know, MMO-esque features and the online multiplayer components of console games that really haven't shown any strength or validity in that department ever before. Like, that's the kind of stuff that's going to be able to change the game.
But we haven't been shown that.
We haven't shown that jack shit.
And that's what I'm really hoping for when we get to E3. What I'm hoping for is that we can figure out what it is in games that we couldn't do before that we're able to do now. And that's sort of central to my best of the week. Mine is the best use of FMV that may in fact not be FMV. And that is Quantum Break, the new game coming to Xbox One from Remedy, which is the developer you'll know behind, the original developer behind Max Payne, and also Alan Wake.
So before you delve into this, I'm curious if you could just, obviously, I think everyone that listens to this podcast knows how much Justin loves FMV, but I don't think everyone knows specifically what, like, counts as FMV. So, like, generally, I just view FMV as, like, it's not in engine. It's
right.
It's out of engine. But also, does it have to be live action for it to be FMV?
In my opinion, my traditional definition, it has to be FMV. People try to tell me about, like,
has to be live action, you mean?
It has to be live action to be FMV. It can't be cartoons. I'm not interested in cartoons.
Fuck that.
I want to see real ass bad actors.
It's
doing their performing.
What?
Oh my god! I played Tender Loving Care on the iPad, by the way, which would have been my best of. Oh my god, that is a dope treat. If you've never seen that, a
super
psychosexual,
erotic
thriller starring John Hurt as a psychoanalyst.
Fucking all the women.
He asks you questions about your psyche, and the movie contorts to please your psyche. I think.
Oh god.
At one point, he says, "Have you ever looked in awe at a horse's penis?" That is an actual line from this game.
Little did John Hurt know that just by playing an FMV game, you were already at full chub.
Yeah. So I love FMV, and Quantum Break looks like it is integrating some sort of full motion video into the experience. I don't know exactly what. They weren't clear about it. It is a game where apparently time is somehow messed up, I guess, is broken somehow.
Hold on. Page one of the script, interior day. Time's all messed up.
Well, have you seen...
Looks like the time's all fucked to shit. We better get on it. Time
have you seen
cops.
The show Touch? Anyone?
No.
With Kiefer Sutherland?
I know that it stars Kiefer Sutherland and a little boy, and it's called Touch.
So imagine Touch, but with a girl. And that's...
I do all the time.
There you go.
I did through most of my formative years, for certain. So what I would be interested to see is if this is some sort of like transmedia property where, you know, like a has some video elements, because that was another part of the announcement, was they talked about Xbox Entertainment making some just purely video based stuff, which I think would be really interesting. But
Alan Wake had that.
Yeah, Alan Wake did. Remedy has always utilized FMV. They used it in the Max Payne games, and they used it in Alan Wake.
But they also had that. They had that Twin Peaks esque web series that was actually super, super good. Like one of the, what was it called?
Night Springs.
Bright Falls. It was like actually genuinely very good, and like it served as a great extension of the franchise and the world that Alan Wake was set in. Like, if they did more stuff like that, I think that would be pretty dope.
What if Quantum Break opens up, like, in the opening credits at the end, it says, based on the novel by Alan Wake? I would lose my mind.
That would be amazing.
They just came out and did a video where they were like, the studio lead was, like, talking to the fans about why they weren't doing Alan Wake 2, and it's like, dog, I watched that trailer. There were a shit ton of, like, inanimate objects floating around covered in dark masses and like chasing human beings around. Like it's fucking Alan Wake too. Mm-hmm.
What did he say? What was his explanation?
They're gonna make it when the time is right.
Also known as they sold 6 copies.
Yeah, his summary, it was so basically sad. In summary, like, sorry guys, but like I need to eat. Like I have a wife and kid to feed. Like I need money, and you guys didn't give me any of that.
I need money for this funny accent. I can't walk around. Whoa.
What?
Whoa, did you just hear that?
Died.
That's what I get for making a dumb joke.
Anyway, Alan Wake's on sale for $5.
Yeah, it's on Steam and Xbox, I think.
It is a triumph.
It's a good game. For $5. I don't know. Wow. Was that the most exciting game that they... I mean, they showed off... They showed off Ghosts, which looks pretty tight. Love that puppy. Chris Grant was in the newsroom chat room yesterday just fucking spitting some dope heat about business ideas. The dopest business ideas. Activision, take this. Have it. Use that Kinect 2.0. Let us scan in our own personal pets to fill the role of the Call of Duty Ghost Dog.
Wait, Ghost Dog is in it?
Clearly not what I meant. Let me scan in my sweet kitty cat. Let me scan in Forrest Whitaker.
I think that's a good idea.
I would pay money. I would microtransact that. I would give maybe 600 Microsoft points.
Yeah. What other ideas did he have that might be?
That was
good?
Really the only one was just to microtransact to scan in my dog or my cat. I don't have a dog, but I would buy one to scan it into Ghosts.
I would do that in a car racing game. That would be a lot of fun. What happened with scanning yourself into games?
Scanning yourself onto a skateboard design?
Even scanning like your face.
Yeah, I know. That was the dopest in Tony Hawk.
Perfect Dark had it.
Did it?
Yeah. Perfect Dark was like the first game that ever had it.
Rainbow Six Vegas was super kind of creepy, actually, watching yourself get like murked by terrorists, and then it's your own dead face there on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to facial mapping. It seems like we should have the tech to do that.
It was all terrible.
Like, I know, but
in Vegas,
things are
so bad.
Things are better now. Like
things are better. You don't have to do. I think for the original, I think it was Tony Hawk Underground. You could do it. You had to take a picture of yourself on a digital camera, which used a floppy drive because it was 1981.
Tuesday.
It was Tuesday on that year. And you had to take a picture of your face and then email it to some server. And then it would ping you back with a link that you would have to put into the game manually. And now you can just like, you just scan your face with that Kinect 2.0. So many possibilities.
Yeah.
How about it, Kinect 2.0?
How about Kinect? You know what else was really cool that they didn't show up? This is the kind of shit we were talking about earlier. About, like, cool gameplay shit that they just didn't talk about. And we didn't even know about it until we interviewed them afterwards. The controller, the guide button in the middle of the controller, doesn't have that little ring around it telling you what player you are. And so Brian was like, why is that? And the guy said, because Kinect 2.0 will be able to face map everybody you know, that signs on to it, it will be able to, and the controller has an IR output, the Kinect will be able to tell who is using what controller.
Okay, so they could do this like that. I remember when the Kinect first launched, the original Kinect first launched, they were like, you walk in front of the screen and you wave at it and it knows exactly who you are, and it never worked. Not once.
Mine can do that.
Really? It still does it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So that shit you just said was all wrong.
Well, maybe it's because I live in a small New York apartment.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just because your looks are fading really quickly.
And it can't even... I'm like the picture of Dorian Gray.
The skin is just like sloughing off.
Yeah, that might be it.
Cheekbones. Ugh.
That's my handsome beard.
But that's kind of dope. Like, you don't have to like, oh, hold on, turn your controller off and let me unplug the battery pack and then plug mine back in.
Yeah, if that works 100% of the time, I think that's cool. But the second it's isn't consistent, then it's a nightmare. And now you have no way to like control who's player one.
Yeah. Well, except you got to take his face off.
Yeah.
Replace it with your own face.
Like Ghost Dog.
And you definitely do have to, have your Kinect plugged in all the time. There's no they have said that it always has to be in. It always has to be watching you.
Yeah, that's colossally obnoxious. The time. Like, there's no excuse for that.
To recap, your console never turns off and it's always watching and listening to you.
And also it's super horny. It's super super horny.
It's DTF constantly.
It's DTWYF, which is even worse.
What's WYF?
Down to watch you fuck.
Oh.
Okay, gotcha.
It wants to upload that to its own private servers, and then when the fucking Skynet becomes self-aware, it's going to be a sexpocalypse. All of my sites are going to feature lots of JPEGs of my naked form.
Yeah. I know that none of us picked it, but I use GameStop's kind of crazy, right?
The reason I didn't pick that is because we just don't fucking know what's up. And it was a total fiasco.
How do they not know what is up?
This is what I think it's going to be. And I'm pretty confident in this.
To recap, if you did not see what happened on the day of, basically you had Phil Harrison and the @Xbox support account saying wildly different things, actually contradicting each other.
First of all, who said that the Xbox support account was even a reliable source to begin with? It's a bunch of guys that were trained to use Twitter.
It is a Guinness World Record for the most responsive.
Yeah,
Twitter
it's actually
account.
Super good. Phil Harrison came out and said there would be a fee if you wanted to play a game secondhand.
100% fee.
At first he didn't say that. When first he talked to Wired. Actually, it wasn't Harrison at first. Wired had that story, said they reached out to a Microsoft representative. I don't think they named who it was. Said that there would be a fee that you would pay, and that's how it would work. Then Xbox support said there wouldn't be a fee. Then Kotaku published an interview with Phil Harrison where he said there would be a fee close to the price of the full game. And I don't remember what the next backpedal was there. But we reached out to Microsoft, and a Microsoft representative told us that that was just a potential scenario. So, like, they also said, like, a bunch of obnoxious shit, like, the story for today is that we're showing off this entertainment all-in-one solution for your living room. And it's like, actually, you don't get to decide what the story is today because this is fucking bananas.
Yeah, they don't seem to have everything buttoned up. That Harrison interview in particular, like, I don't know. It seemed like he wasn't media trained at all or not even prepared
to answer the questions. It's not like he's been doing this for fucking...
Right.
15 to 30 years.
Like, did he walk in there not expecting someone was going to ask about Always On and used games?
Yeah, his statement on Always On is that it's not going to be Always On, no, but it will do online checks every 24 hours or else you can't play your games. Like, what are you fucking doing, guys?
It's a little bonkers.
Anyway, that's why I didn't want to talk about it, is because it's...
Yeah, there's so just a lot of unknowns at the moment.
I will talk about my thing, though.
Go for it.
Tell me.
Mine is the best news... For video game publishers, the best news for video game publishers in the next console generation, and that is that indies cannot self-publish on Xbox One.
So you're necessary still.
So you're necessary. You're essential in a process, the very purpose of which is to circumvent you. So so that's great news for you guys.
So what do you think is the rationale that Microsoft
honest
has
to God,
for
I've been thinking. Here's the only thing I can think, and Microsoft may have a valid point here, is that when I think of all of the digital sales platforms that exist, Steam, Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, Google Play, iOS, I always, and this may or may not be true, but I think of Xbox Live Arcade as being the most quality controlled, the one that if you take up the average sum, the mean of the, you know, quality of all the games on that platform, Xbox Live Arcade is leagues ahead of,
yes,
of everybody else. But at, on the other hand, it also has far fewer games, I would say, than any other platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which now, is are we, not when, great. When we say that indie developers need a publisher to put games on Xbox,
it either has to be Microsoft Game Studios or an approved publisher.
Okay, so how does it work on PSN, for example?
On PSN, it's not a fucking free-for-all. It's
right.
Not like iOS. You have to, and they have changed how they do things to make things much more indie-friendly from when the PS3 first came out. But you have to basically be granted permission to release your game on the PlayStation Network. But they are incredibly, like, lenient for who they allow to do that.
Okay, but no. Is it just a matter of, like, there being less, like, checks along the line? Like, you're not constantly having to meet with Microsoft to, like, see progress on your game, or...
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But I do know on PlayStation Network, you can self-publish. You just have to get permission from Sony. On Xbox, you have to partner with a publisher, no matter what. And that brings
And if you
in...
don't know, that system is already crazy and broken. Like, you already have people who are trading those...
Tokens.
Right. Yeah, right. Who are trading... Yeah. To get the opportunity to publish a game on there, it's nuts, and it's not a system that is working well at all, and it's so sort of like backward to me, and so sort of not where things are going. It seems really crazy.
Could you make like a shell company and like I'm Russ Frustic Productions? And
it's
I'm
doubtful
publishing...
that it would be one of their approved publishers. I don't actually know who is.
I have a really nice suit.
I don't know who is on that list, but I do, like, you see casualties of it all the time, like the Stranger's Wrath, right?
Yeah.
Didn't come, just had water, just couldn't get a publisher, didn't want to get a publisher from their approved list, and said, well, I guess we're not.
And it also increases the number of, you know, obviously they have to pay out the publisher, pay out Microsoft.
Right.
You know.
They are adding another, you know, drain on their... revenue that just doesn't fucking need to be there. Like, what possible purpose could there be for a publisher if the independent developer has lowered their overhead to a point where they don't need to seek outside funds, they don't need any outside help, you know, promoting or marketing their game, which is a totally viable scenario, and then, like, you're fucking releasing it digitally. It's not like you need to pay somebody to print the discs. There are so many instances where a publisher just isn't necessary, and they are making it a requirement. And the only reason I can see that is to maintain their quality control instead of just letting it be an open market and then have a form of curation that makes these games successful.
But Sony has quality control too. It's just not as stringent.
Right. But Sony also has a number of different storefronts. Like, it has PlayStation Mobile, which, say what you will,
right,
is a billion times better and more supported than Xbox Live Indie games.
Yes, that's
which true. You can only release in Xbox Live Indie games on the XNA platform, which they're not going to fucking support anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they have shown a systemic pattern of just not giving a shit because they don't think that indie games are moving the needle.
And numerically... It's not, I mean, you know, you're talking about the smaller indie. Look, trust me, I love indie games. Even small, tiny indie game, no one ever heard of. I love them. But are they keeping Sony afloat? Not really. No one's like, I mean, they're good. They're keeping software flowing, but no one's like making tons of money off of these. And maybe it's just Microsoft being, well, you know, we'll just like not, I don't really want to worry about being nice to thousands of indies. We'll just pick the six we like and we'll work with them, and that'll be that.
That's right. The thing. Look, like, they bank entirely on these huge mega monster hits for the platform, and that is fine. But you can have those in the indie world if you like, how many million sellers do you think there have been for Xbox Live Arcade? And then compare that to how many million sellers you think there have been for iOS. And I know that there's a lot more of that hardware out there, but I also think it has something to do with the fact that a lot of those companies are like, oh, fuck that, we're not going to port our games over to Xbox Live
Arcade. Well, and pricing and free to play and all that stuff. There's a lot of factors there. I would say the one-to-one comparison would be PSN versus Xbox, but
yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
I don't think we'll ever get that. Those numbers together.
No, probably not.
And even if we did, like, Minecraft probably fucking throws the whole thing off.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just crazy to me that, like, on the other end of the spectrum, Sony is doing everything in their power to court indie devs, from, like, loosening up who they give permission to release PSN games to like the having the pub fund going out to fucking showing off The Witness at their reveal press conference. Right. Like, they are obviously so much better in tune with how great indie games are and how the wind is blowing. And I don't know, Microsoft just seems like they either don't give a shit or they just don't have a clue.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of a priority thing, and this is one area that they don't want to change tack. But it's the fact of the matter is, this is something that they could change over just a couple months. Like, one day they could wake up and be like, you know what, we're going to try to do with indies now in a year or two. It's not like for the lifetime of the Xbox One console,
yeah,
this is going to be law. I mean, it might be, but it's not necessarily.
They did say, so the story where this surfaced was a Shaq News interview with Redmond Game Studios and Platforms general manager Matt Booty, which is pretty good. And he said, I would also expect that for this new generation that we're going to continue to explore new business models and new ways of surfacing content. So, like, I guess it's not out of the picture that they could change their mind about this, but...
Yeah.
Right, but if you look at who they brought on stage,
it
was
Call
of Duty, and it was EA, you know, and they showed FIFA and Madden.
Well, I think
they're going for the big guys.
Right, E3 is going to be a better
E3
indication.
Is going to be the crucible for
But Sony did bring on Jonathan Blow, and if you don't think that was a symbolic gesture as much as it was anything else,
Sony's press conference was both hardware and software, whereas Microsoft's was almost entirely focused.
But
get outside of the.
The mindset of just talking about the announcement of these two consoles. Look at the companies as a whole. When Sony talks about the PS3 exclusive that characterized their console, possibly for the entire generation, but definitely for the past year, what game do they turn to?
Buzz.
Yes, Buzz the trivia game. No, they turn to Journey. Journey is like the fucking feather in their cap. And yes, that is also because they didn't release too many exclusive games last year, but like... They obviously know that indie games aren't just some diversion, and they're not even just like a way to trick gamers into thinking that your platform is the true games, the where true gamers play. Like, they know that it is a viable commercial model.
Well, do they? Did Journey sell consoles is a better question. Again, I don't have the numbers, but if it didn't, that's why Microsoft is doing what it's doing, which is to say, from a business perspective, they don't care because it's not going to make an impact. So,
but can they really champion this message of it's the all-in-one box, unless you wanted to play indie games on it?
They have marketing people that are championing that. They could champion whatever they want. It doesn't matter if it rings true or false.
Is the Pizza Hut app going to be on it?
I goddamn hope so.
Well, let's talk about our last thing.
So okay, our last thing is the best thing that no one else cares about, cloud achievements.
Oh, man, you were right. That is dumb.
Good closer, everybody.
Can we just
do Dave's again?
We're going to close this one out with cloud achievement. No, I like the idea of cloud achievements.
Explain to me what it is, because you just said two words that I just...
Okay, so cloud. So right now, when a game comes out on Xbox 360...
Yes.
You have to assign 1,000 gamer score points or 60 achievements to that game. Okay. And in terms of the back end, it's tied to that game release. So if they ever want to add new achievements or rename achievements, or if an achievement is broken and can't be unlocked by anyone, the only way to fix that is to do a title update. As an example, BattleBlock Theater, which is out right now, a pretty major release, has one achievement that no one can get. It's actually bugged, and the only way to fix that is a title update, which can take 3 months or whatever,
and also $10,000.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. For BattleBlock, they're probably fine. They do have millions and millions of dollars. So, but for other people, it's an issue. So essentially what they're doing is removing achievements from being tied physically to the game's release and making them fully controlled by the publisher of the game. So if Call of Duty adds, you know, 1 week wants to do like a special, you know, whatever, get 10 headshots this week achievement, they can do that in a blink of an eye, whereas before it would take way longer and be more expensive.
But doesn't that kind of devalue the whole idea of achievements, though?
It depends how...
No. It doesn't kind of... It absolutely, okay. 100% utterly got a shadow of a fucking doubt in values something that is already utterly without value. They've done the impossible. Okay, that is the killer app of Xbox, is it bends reality around itself and devalues a thing without value.
Okay, so here's the thing, is that it depends how much they do it. If a game comes out and it has 1,000 achievement points, and then in the next week they add 4,000 more achievement points, I completely agree with you.
But if you fucking, on Gears of War 5, unlock the, you know, the Diet Sprite Kill of the Week achievement, and then that's on your fucking profile forever, dog, like the fucking dark mark. I would have to change my name. I would have to go into witness protection to get out of that shit.
I just think that it achievements are already so goofy.
I think like they're dumb, but I do think I do.
You don't think they're dumb. You love them like a mother loves her her infant child.
I know. Here's the way I look at achievements, and I think it's important that people acknowledge that I have some maybe quasi basis in logic. Achievements, the way I look at them, are like books on a shelf. When you look at a shelf of books, you remember, oh, I remember when I read Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. That was a pretty good book. Remember that time when Sauron fell or something? I don't know.
So for me, it's more like a shelf of books that have bookmarks stuck in them close to the very beginning of the book that show how very few achievements I get in my video.
Why close to the very beginning?
Well, I mean, it's usually about halfway through. I would say my average number of achievement points I get for any 1,000-point game is like 300 to 400 tops.
Yeah, so I'm more of a completionist, so I finish just about every game that I play.
I finish them, but finishing a game doesn't mean getting all the achievements, you psychopath.
And sometimes it does.
You madman.
I realize that it's silly, but I don't know. I like the prospect of, like, what I'm thinking, the way that I think of it is, like, look at a game like Dishonored. Dishonored has, like, a bunch of ways to play through it. And I like the idea of, like, 3 months in, them being like, hey, we added this new power. Maybe see how you can get through the game using this power. And,
okay, here...
And it's free. Like, how can you complain about what's essentially free content?
Because I will... Okay, let's just pump the brakes there on content. Because, okay, no, it's not content. That's a lie.
Achievements are sort of...
That's intellectual dishonesty, and I will not allow it on the besties. The problem I have with this, and the reason I wasn't more excited about it, is that there are one of two possibilities here. Either A, they make an achievement easier to get or harder to get, both of which invalidate that achievement. Or they add achievements, which leads to the deflation, if you will, of the value of achievement scores. So, like, this thing that was already, like, sort of silly and meaningless becomes, like, because if you don't think there, like, the moment, like, someone's going to throw in that as a selling point, like, we have 4,000 achievement points you can get, like, that completely devalues the system. I don't see how you keep that number constant and also be able to make changes to achievements on the fly.
Also, like, what you does work that your world you look work like? Your dick off unlocking all the chivos in Gears of War 7 Locust Humper, and then you finish it after spending hundreds of hours getting that one elusive chiv that you needed to complete the set, and then the next day you wake up and there's a title update and there's 30
well,
new ones.
Well, that's why I do like what Sony does, which is decouples the platinum trophy from DLC, so you can get like the platinum trophy and it doesn't like remove your completionist achievement when new DLC gets added. Whereas on the Xbox, when new achievements get added and you're at 100%, you just drop down to 90%.
Sure.
So I guess you guys have convinced me, and now I'm dreading it.
Hey, Dave Tack.
Yeah.
This is your first year as a games journalist. I think E3 will actually be right around your specific year point.
Yes, sir.
How is this, like, what was it like for you watching this console announcement? This is your first one, because obviously no one counts the Wii U. What have you thought about it so far? How's the experience been for you?
There was the PlayStation 4 too. It's more.
I mean, in toto. I mean with both of them.
Yeah. It's interesting to look at it from the sort of perspective of somebody who's covering it, because you learn. I felt like I used to know a lot about the industry, like more than normal people before I started, and then I started and I realized how little I knew compared to the people I worked with.
Don't you ever fucking forget it, motherfucker. Right. I'm learning all the time. I always got my rear view up to check it for Dave Tax.
And the thing is, like, it's so much fun to see the bigger stories play out. You know, you hear a little bit. We're working on a rumors post right now where we're checking to see what, over the last year, year and a half, what everybody thought was going to come out, what these leaked memos were going to be, or, you know, what these leaked memos said were going to happen, what people in the know said were going to happen. And that's what I love about this thing, where everybody knew. You know, we were sitting around at the loft last year during E3 wondering if anybody was going to announce a console. And it's here we are almost a year later, and we finally got that. This story's been blowing up, and it finally popped. And I think it's super exciting now that we actually have the thing to talk about. We actually have the console to dig in, to find out about, to learn all of that stuff that we've been wondering about for so long. So I love it, and please don't fire me, because I like this job a lot.
Done.
Perfect.
I mean, you're done.
No.
Oh, no.
But
leave your blogger with Samantha on the way out.
My blogger?
Your blogging device.
It's like a phaser, but it blogs.
It's like a phaser, but it just, you just pointed at press releases and transmogrify them into Kleeks. This has been the best ones, where we talk about the very best winner of the winner week, and we're going to pick a winner real quick. I really think that Griffin had a strong intro.
I feel
what
like
you guys think.
When, yep.
I'll pick a winner this week. You ready for this? The PlayStation 4. Sony crony.
Whoa.
No, I think Sony. I think Griffin probably won.
He rips off the master reveal. It was Kaz Harai the whole time.
Griffin's multiple wins have been sponsored by Sony this entire time. This has been the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest and best and brightest of the video game industry. Thank you for joining us. I'm sorry about whoever has the really noisy room. It's been irritating me the whole time, too. So just know that you're not alone. You can join us again next Friday, where we'll talk about a wider array of topics, one would assume, unless another console is announced in that meantime. Make sure you visit us on Polygon. We got a brand new article page. All our news articles look sexier than ever, with all kinds of cool new functionality, so you don't want to miss that. If you get a chance, go to iTunes, give us a subscription and a review and a critique from your heart. We would appreciate that. You can follow us on @Polygon, YouTube/Polygon, Facebook/Polygon, polygon.com.tumblr.com, and probably Grindr somewhere. And make sure to join us again next Friday for the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?
Besties!